It's Food Friday time, and since it's Valentine's Day, we thought we'd throw a little chocolate at you. Chef extraordinaire Ian Knauer is back with us today to give ideas for working with chocolate and what to eat if you're boycotting Valentine's Day. Ian, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, whether or not we're celebrating Valentine's today, you gotta love chocolate. So how important is it to have at least one decent chocolate dessert up your sleeve?
Well, I think any cook needs a really great decadent chocolate dessert that they can go to at any time. So whether you like it or not, someone that you like to cook for likes it, so you should definitely have one on hand.
Well, and you just used the word decadent, Ian, and I think, you know, decadent and molten chocolate cake goes together. Those gooey ones with the runny chocolate in the middle, it's hard to imagine anything more decadent than that. They seem hard to pull off, are they?
Well, actually, that's the trick to them. They're one of the most simple, one of the simplest desserts that you can make. And in fact, batter can be made ahead of time and kept in the refrigerator. A molten chocolate cake is one of those desserts that everybody orders when it's on a restaurant menu, and there's no reason why you can't make it at home.
You've shared a recipe for this with us, Ian, and we've got it on our Facebook page, and already a listener declared her love for us for sharing that recipe with her. Can you run us through what it takes to make this molten chocolate cake?
Sure. So the recipe that I sent you guys that you put up on your website actually makes enough batter for 8 individual cakes.
Or four for two. Four servings for the two
right,
people.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, good.
Right. but like I said before, you can make this batter ahead and it keeps in your refrigerator. So anytime you want to make some, just scoop out enough for one or two or however many cakes you want to make, and then you can just bake them off. And the batter itself is really simple to make. So you start out with, and this sounds like a lot, but again, we're talking decadent here, 1/2 pound of unsalted butter and 1/2 pound of bittersweet chocolate. Now, that chocolate, you want to be pretty dark. I prefer a 70% chocolate. You could use a 60% if you wanted to, or maybe even go up to a 72%, but I like to keep it at 70%. You can get that at most grocery stores now. What you do is you melt those together over a water bath. So you put the butter and the chocolate in a bowl, and place that bowl over some simmering water, and slowly the butter and the chocolate melt together. Then you want to whisk in 1/2 cup of sugar, and let it cool to warm, and then you want to beat 3 large eggs and then beat them into that chocolate mixture. And then you want to add 3 tablespoons of all-purpose flour and a pinch of salt. Now, that is just barely enough flour to make the cake hold together, which is what you want. If you add any more than that, then it feels cakey, which you're not going for, and if you add less than that, then it tends to break. So what you want to do then is you want to divide your batter between some buttered ramekins, and I use 1/2 cup per serving, and then bake them off in the oven at 350 degrees. And it takes 20 to 30 minutes, so check them at 20. What you're looking for is a nice amount of jiggle in the center there. You want to take them out then and let them cool warm and then invert them on a plate, and they pop right out of those molds. Now, what you're essentially doing here is you're underbaking the cake. That's how you get the gooey center. So it's warm in the center, but you don't bake it all the way through, so it never actually solidifies.
So if you're used to making maybe brownies, for instance, you want to pull these molten chocolate cakes out before they would get to the point where you would think, say, a brownie would be ready.
Yeah, long before that. Exactly. That's right.
Ian, this sounds pretty simple and straightforward, even to me, but I'll admit my ignorance here. What is a ramekin that we're baking these things in?
A ramekin is a ceramic container. And you can get them at almost any kitchenware store. And they come in all different sizes. I'm sure that you've seen them. You've probably seen them if you order like a creme brulee at a restaurant. It often comes in a ramekin as well.
Oh, and those things can go. I've had that. They can be right in the oven then. They're not
exactly
just a serving
right.
Dish.
Yeah, you can bake in them.
Well, and since Rob might be a little on the more remedial end with things like ramekins, maybe we should give him a recipe for something that doesn't even need a container. So maybe, Ian, what about chocolate-covered strawberries? Those seem really romantic and even easier than a molten chocolate cake.
They are, yeah, and I agree. They are super romantic. Anytime you serve them to someone, you can expect a kiss in exchange. The secret to chocolate-covered strawberries is to add a little bit of fat to your chocolate. So if you prefer milk chocolate, you can use that. If you prefer a darker chocolate, you can use that. Melt it down. In fact, the microwave is a really good way to melt chocolate on your lowest setting in the microwave. and then whisk in 1 tablespoon of butter. And then let that cool just a little bit before you dip your strawberries in there. Then place your strawberries on a piece of wax paper and put them in the fridge. That way, the butter in there ensures that you don't get that brittle chocolate on the outside. It's a little softer. It's a little more luscious.
I've seen that maybe when people didn't put butter in it, where it's just, it isn't quite right. It doesn't hold together right.
Exactly.
So the butter is the key.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So when you take if you don't put the butter in, you take a bite out of it, the chocolate shatters everywhere and it makes a mess, and it's not nearly as sexy.
Well, and I'm thinking along the lines of chocolate dipped strawberries, you could also do dipping lots of different fruits and maybe even cake in, say, a chocolate fondue.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, anytime you get to play with your food at the table, and fondue is a really easy way to do that, you're going to have much more fun and, you know, things always happen when there's chocolate and fondue involved.
I like the way you think, Judith. Dipping cake in the chocolate
well,
goo.
Yeah. And so, Ian, maybe there are some people that are not all caught up in the Valentine's Day feeling warm fuzzies. You have some suggestions for a tasty but in some ways decidedly un-Valentine's Day meal. What have you got for us?
This is actually a menu that I've always wanted to cook on Valentine's Day because I'm one of those people who does not believe in forced romance. I think, if romance is happening, then that's wonderful and it shouldn't have to happen on Valentine's Day. So if I were going to make an un-Valentine's meal, I think I'd probably start out with a crostini with roasted garlic and like a white bean puree on top. And of course, the garlic will make your breath smell like garlic and the beans will probably give you gas. So there's nothing sexy about either one of those things, but it is totally delicious. And then I'd move on to a pasta, maybe with the broccoli or broccoli rabe, again with the gas factor, and the pasta's going to make you heavy and sleepy. And then for the main, I'd probably do something like a braised ox heart. So, you know, you actually get to eat a real heart. And heart, I mean, some people might seem a little squeamish when you think about braised heart, but
yeah.
It's actually really delicious. It's beefy and wonderful. It's probably one of the best beef stews that you can make.
Really?
And then for, oh yeah, absolutely. I might even serve that with like a quick pickled shallot vinaigrette. Then again, you have some raw onion in there, so you know you're just kicking your breath up a notch. And then for dessert, I'd probably eat a whole pint of ice cream, have a martini, and smoke a cigar.
Well, and I have to say, I think instead of that being unromantic, it's just a mature, more, you know, more settled in kind of love.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this is the kind of love that you want to cultivate for a lifetime.
Or you could just hold on to this for a great breakup meal. something to end the relationship. On a tasty note, but you're creating that separation there with the garlic and the beans.
Right. Yeah, send them off with garlic breath.
And Ian, are there any beverages that you really like to go along with these romantic desserts especially?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I really like is a sweet red wine. And you can find some really good ones these days. It used to be that you only were able to find cheap Lambrusco, that not very good Italian bubbly wine. But there are actually really good versions of that available now throughout the country. So I would start with something like that. It's slightly sweet, but not too sweet, so it doesn't overpower the subtle sweetness of the chocolate.
And a nice glass of port would go along with those too, I'm guessing.
You bet. Yeah, that would be a perfect pairing.
Ian, well, we've got a couple minutes. I know you're big on seasonal type stuff. It's been a bit chilly here in Wisconsin. I gather you've had a spot of weather in the Northeast as well. What's keeping you going as far as seasonal foods while you're waiting for the spring?
I've been feasting on a vegetarian Moroccan style stew. So there's no meat in it. There's no animal product whatsoever. But that's sort of beside the point. Which is that it's really, really satisfying. So I use butternut squash and carrots, and they stew away with some canned tomatoes. And here's the secret ingredient, some dried dates. I chop up about 8 dates and put them in there. And they add a really nice subtle sweetness and sort of like a malty caramel flavor to the stew. It doesn't make it sweet, but it balances it really perfectly. And then I use some warm spices like coriander and cumin and cinnamon and bay leaves. And it's one of those stews that makes a big pot. So if you have friends and family over, it's great for that, but it also makes incredible leftovers. So Any day for lunch, I'll go into the fridge and just grab some of that and heat it up, and it really hits the spot now. It's we're living in the polar vortex.
Well, and I have to say, since my husband and I spent our honeymoon in Morocco, for me, anything Moroccan is romantic and lovely.
So you could just have it for Valentine's
Exactly.
Day.
Exactly.
All right, Ian, just a little time left. What are you making tonight? You've outed yourself as a Valentine's Day denialist. So are you just going to make something basic? Are you going to make your anti-Valentine's Day meal, or what do you got going on?
I might do some of the anti-Valentine's Day meal. I might do the white bean crostini. That actually sounds really good to me. But I have some wild boar sausage that I've been waiting to cook up, and I'm really looking forward to that.
That sounds great to me.
Ian, I've got to know, when are you just going to move here to Wisconsin so that all these foods you talk about, you can just bring into the studio and we can share them? It's a good state. You should head over here.
That sounds really fun. I'll let you know when I'm in town.
Well, and Ian, I think one of the things about wonderful food and great eating experiences is actually the presentation. Is there anything special that you like to do to kind of dress the plate up a little for a special occasion like Valentine's Day?
So if we go back to that molten chocolate cake, there are a lot of different things that you can do to make it look really sort of chef-y, like it's actually coming out of a restaurant kitchen. You mentioned port earlier, and I like to make a sauce from port. So I'll boil some port with a little sugar and some orange zest until it becomes a syrup, and then drizzle that over the cake, put a dollop of whipped cream on top, and then here's a really neat chef's trick. Take some cocoa powder and put it through a fine sieve and just dust it right over there. So you get the chocolate from the cocoa powder, the chocolate from the cake, the sweetness of the port, the wininess of the port, and then, of course, the whipped cream.
Looks, sounds beautiful, Ian. Thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's
Happy
Ian,
Valentine's Day.
You too. That's Ian Knauer, farm-to-table chef. We've got his recipe for molten chocolate cake on the Central Time Facebook page.